You know, one of the things that keeps me is just knowing what to do when I don't know what to do. One of the things that keeps me going is to know what to do when I don't know what to do. Because when I don't know what to do, I still know what to do. Some scriptures that I want to share with you, Philippians 3rd chapter, verses 13 and 14. Brethren, I have not won yet, but this one thing I do, forgetting those things which are behind, reaching forth unto those things which are before me, I press toward the mark, the finish line, for the prize of the high calling of God in Christ Jesus. James said in James 1 and 8, a double-minded man is unstable in all of his ways. You can't be thinking, I'm going to serve God one minute, and I'm not going to be serving God the next minute. You're going to be a very divided individual. You can't drive your car in forward and reverse at the same time. I tried that one time. That's called, you drop a transmission. You cannot go forwards and backwards at the same time. You've got to make up your mind which way you're going. I'm either going forward or I'm going backwards. Now, reading further in Philippians, the 4th chapter, verse 13, Paul said, I can do all things through Christ which strengtheneth me. You know, there's some things that I don't have to do anymore. I don't have to live a day without being born again anymore. I don't have to live a day with Satan screaming in both ears, you have to sin, you have to sin, you have to sin. Oh, he'll whisper it every once in a while, but I don't have to sin. I don't have to go through a day of fear anymore. You know, when you find out you don't have to do something, it's interesting what you can do with it. Until you don't think there's any answer to your problem, you'll just keep putting up with your problem. But I found out that when a fear attack comes, I can stand on the Word of God and put Satan to flight. I don't have to go through a day of fear anymore. I don't have to go through a day depressed anymore. When I get snake bit, I just shake it off into the fire. I don't have to fear anymore. I don't have to sin all day anymore. I don't have to let the devil beat me up all day anymore. I don't have to let the devil put me under condemnation anymore. I can let him, but I don't have to. I don't have to. I don't have to. The Word of God says I don't have to. I can live victoriously. I can win. I can be more than a conqueror through the one who has already conquered for me. The biggest lie the devil tells somebody that's made a mess of your life is that there's no way out, there's no way through, there's nothing you can do about the mess you're in. I'm here to tell you in the name of Jesus, this church, the gospel of Jesus Christ that is preached in this church says there is a way out, there is a way up, there is a way through, and his name is Jesus. You may have been a loser all your life, but you can leave this auditorium with a winner's mentality. Paul the Apostle said, but none of these things move me. Neither count I my life dear, so that I may finish my course with joy and the ministry which I've received of the Lord Jesus Christ, to preach and to testify the gospel of the grace of God. Oh, in Him we live, we move, we have our being. Wherever you work, that's just an excuse to spend 40 hours and make a paycheck so the rest of your time you can testify, witness, give, go, share, sing, bless, minister to others. It was in 1997. I was out at Texas Speedway. I think it was April the 11th, if I got my date right here. I was out with one of our men from this church, and he was kind enough to get me tickets. I've seen two of those events. I've seen the Indy races, and I've seen the NASCAR, of course, out there. And I'll tell you what, it's a rush when you're sitting there looking at that track, seeing those cars come by 200 miles an hour. I mean, it makes you feel like you're on a Dallas freeway or something, you know? Or these Fort Worth freeways that are under construction. I mean, just whoom, whoom. I mean, they're just... You can see it on television. It just doesn't register until you look down, and that little metal object comes in sight and disappears just as quickly as you saw it. How fast they can go. And you know the mystery of that thing is how they can do that and still stay alive. how they can do that and not kill one another. I remember we were coming back from Israel, and we spent Thanksgiving with Casey Treat and Wendy from Seattle, and we were taking a taxi, and it was Thanksgiving, and hardly anything was open. I think we went over to the Sears building, didn't we, Joy? We had Thanksgiving dinner. And we were in a taxi cab, and there were two taxis in front of us, and one taxi cab hit the other one, bumped it. It wasn't a bad thing. And the man said, "That's amazing." He said, "You just never see that happen. Taxis don't hit each other." He just kept shaking his head. He said, "That's amazing. You just don't see taxis hit one another. They get so close, they know how close they can get, but taxis don't hit one another." Well, New York cab drivers, I guess, can do anything. But anyway, you know, as we were out there on that freeway, and I was just thinking of some of these things, Paul said, "I win. I so run that I may win." I'm out to win the race. And you take in a football game, every team can't win. In a hockey game, every team can't win. In a basketball, every team cannot win all the time. Somebody's got to lose. But when you serve Jesus, you win all the time. When you serve Jesus, you win all the time. Everybody in this house can be running in the race and be a winner. Everybody in this race can be running in this race and be a winner. And I found out something else. I found out that if you just stay in the race, they give you so much money for just staying in the race. Even if you don't win, if you stay in there and you stay faithful and you finish the race, and if you make enough laps, even if your car blows up because you stayed in there for X number of laps, you still get blessed financially. Well, I want you to write some things down because I believe this will help you. I just asked a lot of questions. I read the paper the next day, and my friend was just filling me in on some of these things. I'm going to call it the winner's mentality or the cost of winning. How many want to be a winner? You're sick if you don't want to be a winner. You really are. You need some help if you don't want to be a winner in life. There's so many people have a loser's mentality. Shake that loser's mentality off. Get a winner's mentality. As I said, everybody can't win all the time, but everyone can win in the Lord Jesus Christ. Everybody can be a winner. I tell you, there wasn't a bigger loser in the world than I was when I first came to Jesus. I mean, I'd messed up and people had lost confidence, and I was in my teens, and I mean, a lot of people thought, you know, well, he'll never get it all together. And there was times I thought I'd never get it all together. I wanted to get it together, but I didn't know how to get it together. I didn't know Romans 8 existed. I didn't know that I could. I just thought that you tried and you fall on your face and get up and try to go again. And if it doesn't work, then you might quit. You know, if at first you don't succeed, then you quit, you see. But thank God something happened in my heart, and I turned my heart to Jesus, and I said, "God, if I'm the only person in the world going to heaven, if I go to hell, I'm going to hell trying to go to heaven. I am going to heaven. I'm not going to serve the devil. I'm going to get me a whole new set of friends." You got to shake off those loser friends. I said, you got to shake off those loser friends. You got to shake off those loser friends. You can't stay around losers and have a winner's mentality. You can't stay around negative thinkers and have a winner's mentality. You can't stay around all the folks that can't get there from here and have a winner's mentality. I tell you, if you're going to have a winner's mentality, get around somebody that believes they can do it. Get around somebody that believes that I can do all things through Christ which strengthen it. Well, here's some lessons I learned from 1997 out there at Texas Speedway. First of all, how do you survive on the track of life? First of all, you've got to have God's vision for your life. You know why those race drivers are out on the track? Because they want to be. Nobody makes them. In fact, the man that just won one of the races here last week, his car blew up and he didn't even have a car. So he said, "I just worked in the pit with others." He said, "I helped somebody else get their car going." And for two different races, he didn't have a car of his own, didn't have a sponsor, and so he helped someone else keep their race car going. He said the next best thing to being on the track is being in the pit helping somebody else. Helping somebody else. Folks, we need to get a hold of this in the Church of the Living God. Well, bless God, if I can't drive the lead race car, I'm not going to be out there at all. Learn the joy of working in the pit helping somebody else. Go out to Stitches. Go to the power tower. Be a witness. Go to the jails. Do what you can do. Well, bless God, if I can't drive the best car and I can't drive the lead car, I'm not going to drive any car. Do what you can do and God will bless you for it. That's the way to success. Those men are driving those cars at high speeds and doing something that is dangerous to most of our minds. They're out there many times often laying their lives on the line because they have a that's their vision in life. I know that's not most of your cup of tea, and I can understand that. But that is their vision. That is their passion. You put them in a race car, they're happy as a bird in a tree. Put them out on the track. Put them in the middle of danger. They're happy because that's their vision in life. They have a vision. Golfers do what they do because that's their vision. Man that won out here at Colonial the other day. How many years and how many times and how many times has he gone to all of those tournaments and won nothing? Won nothing. But oh, thank God, this was his day. Oh, folks, listen, we need a passion for serving God. Well, I have to serve God. Oh, you wimp. Wake up. Get a life. You don't have to serve God. You get to serve God. Man, if I went by my body last night and tonight, I'd be under a tree sipping lemonade somewhere. Oh, it's happened to me again tonight. Thank God I got out here and got where the anointing was. I have a vision! And my vision is the power of the Holy Ghost. There's nothing like the anointing. There is nothing like the anointing of the Holy Ghost. Nothing! Oh, you can have your little dry services and dry churches and whatever you want, but oh, thank God, let me be under the spout where the glory comes out. Let me be where God is moving by His Spirit. You must have God's vision for your life. Those race drivers have a vision for their life, and that's why they're out there putting their lives on the line. Paul said, I've not been disobedient to the heavenly vision. Paul had a vision. He got a vision on the road to Damascus, and he said, I've not been disobedient to that vision. Get a vision. Well, you say, Brother Nichols, can you elaborate on that? Here's one thing that I believe. Every sheep needs a shepherd, and every believer needs a good, red hot, on fire for God, Holy Ghost, New Testament church. You need to help a pastor in a church see their vision through. You need to do that. You must have God's vision for your life. Those race drivers have a vision. That's why they're out there. Going further into a winner's mentality or the cost of winning, you must commit to a course. They laugh at us down in Grenada and over in London. You know, we say, well, they're driving on the wrong side of the street. No, that's their right side of the street. You don't say that when you're over there. They have a right to drive the way they want to drive. And I tell you what, if you don't drive on the side of the street they drive on, that's called head-on collision. I was down in Grenada. Mike said, you want to drive? We'd bought a vehicle for them. And he said, you want to drive? Dear Lord, I think I rubbed half the rubber off the tires going up that mountain on the wrong, to me, the wrong side. I was used to the other side. I mean, there's something about my head had not really made the final adjustment. And I just kept, you know, just ever so slightly, but I kept rubbing it. I said, Mike, I said, I'm not going to drive here anymore, buddy. You're going to drive this car from now on. I mean, you're used to this. You get over in London, man, I mean, they're blowing and going and going around those circles and doing all the things they do and driving. And I'm just so thankful that somebody else is doing the driving. But you see, you got to commit to a course. You see, all the race drivers, they drive one way around the course. And you know, if I'm out on the course and I said, you know, I am so sick and tired of running 150 miles an hour or 200 miles an hour. I'm sick and tired of doing what everybody else does around here. And so I believe I'm just going to go the other way. Uh-huh. We'll be saying the last rites over you. And you know, in churches and in businesses, there's always that square peg in a round hole. I'm superior. I don't have to drive on the proper same. Bam! Your history. You've got to commit to a course. The only way you're going to win on the track of life is you've got to commit to a course. And the third thing, you must not give in to boredom. Do you know more people miss God because they get bored? You say, Brother Nichols, I didn't think you ever got bored serving God. There are some slow days. There are some days when you have to sort things out. There are some days when you have to do some house cleaning and do some shopping and do some preparation. I mean, every day I don't feel what I feel when I'm on this platform. There's days when there's a dirty four-letter word called work. And some days you have to work. I don't feel super spiritual when I'm writing out all the checks for the bills. I'm thankful, but I don't feel super spiritual. You understand? Wow, man. Is this the bill? You know, is this, you know, you're taking care of things. Man, it's wonderful. You get married and you go on your honeymoon. Woo, moonlight and roses. But then there's house cleaning and work and cutting the grass or paying somebody else to do it. Hello? You see, there's work. It's fun to drive a car, but somebody better maintain that car. What I'm saying, there are days when things don't go as quickly as other days, and that proves what you have inside of you. That's when you need a good praise tape. Yeah, there's some slow days serving God, and that's okay. You need some slow days. You need to unwind a little bit. Your speedometer may say 100 miles an hour, but don't try to drive that all the time. You come apart on the freeway of life. So you must not give in to boredom. Be not weary in well-doing, for in due season you shall reap if you faint not. David encouraged himself in the Lord. Why did David encourage himself in the Lord? Because he needed to be encouraged and nobody else was around to do it. So he said, I'll handle that job myself. I'll encourage myself. I will encourage myself in the Lord. If you want to walk in victory, listen to victorious courses. If you want to walk in victory, think on victorious verses of Scripture. Hallelujah. You must not give in to boredom. In a business, in church, in working for God, on the staff of a church, in a marriage, in a relationship, wherever you go, there's going to be some slow days. And if Jesus is not the Lord of your life, more people blow it on a slow day. You remember one day Peter said, I go fishing. Nothing wrong going fishing, except he walked away from Jesus on that occasion when he did. There is a right and a wrong time to go fishing. All right. The trouble is, when Peter said, I go a fishing, that others followed him. Others followed him. And when you get discouraged, keep your mouth shut, lest others follow you. Keep your opinion to yourself, lest someone else who's on the edge is pushed over by your negativism. Folks, I'll tell you, we got to hold steady. If there's anything that God's made real to me, and it keeps bleeding out for the last 2 or 3 weeks. Hey, this thing's not just all about me. Life's not just all about me and feelings come, feelings. It's not just what I think and what I feel and what I want. What my life is all about, yes, it begins with me, but it goes out to hundreds and thousands and maybe millions of others. Some great man or woman of God falls on their face. The ripple of that, the tidal wave of that goes all over the world. I'm still asked when I travel the four corners of this earth, what about evangelist so-and-so? What about pastor so-and-so? What about this? What about that? People don't understand why they didn't get back up. Oh, here's another one. Don't be distracted by the wrecks of others. Paul said, some having put aside faith have made shipwreck. Well, Brother Nichols, the reason I don't go to church anymore, I know a preacher that had a wreck. I know more preachers that have wrecks than you do. Brother Nichols, I know some layperson, and they were a deacon or they were an elder, and boy, they were, if anybody, you know, I've heard this, you know, if anybody was a real Christian, they were. You don't know, maybe they were, maybe they weren't. Sitting around with our 6-inch ruler trying to judge the whole body of Christ. My God, have mercy. Well, I'll tell you, when they fell, I just said, man, there's no hope for me. Oh, you wimp. Come on. People have fallen on their faces since the creation of man. Ever since Cain and Abel got into it with a 10 or 20 pound club or whatever it was, and Adam and Eve made the decision they made. But you can't be distracted by the wrecks of others. Well, somebody else's marriage didn't make it, so I don't guess my marriage can make it. Oh, get a life. Well, I know somebody who was really supposed to be a big deal in that church, and they turned out to be not all there. Hey, I can tell you a bunch of folks didn't turn out, but I can tell you a lot of other folks that did turn out. And I can tell you some preachers that did turn out. It's true with plumbers. It's true with pilots. It's true with preachers. It's true with pastors. In every walk of life, you've always got some that are a discredit to the rest. In every walk of life, you've always got some that are a disgrace to the trade or a disgrace to the profession. But bless God, because somebody has a wreck, I'm not going to quit following Jesus. I'm not going to quit the ministry. I'm not going to stop serving God. Listen to me, saints of God, tonight. This thing that I'm preaching to you tonight is heaven or hell. You can't just sloppy through life any way you want to go. One of these days, the trump of God's going to sound. God forbid, one of these days a Mack truck might meet you on the freeway and take you into eternity. And where are you going to be then? Man, I want to finish my course with joy. I want them to say, there's one thing about Bob Nichols. Man, he slammed against the wall and went out in a shout of victory. Glory to God. Hallelujah. No wimps, no quitting. No whining, no crybabies. Grab! That's what God's saying to the church. That's what God's saying to the ministry. That's what God's saying to all of us. Grow up! Get a life! Serve God! Get on the Word of God and tell the devil where to go! And don't be distracted by the wrecks of others. Junkyard's full of wrecked cars, but mine's still running, thank you. Hallelujah. Don't be distracted by the wrecks of others. Some, having put aside faith, made shipwreck. Don't be distracted by the wrecks of others. Don't be distracted. Who makes it and who doesn't make it? You know what I know? And God knows my heart. And I make this statement knowing that I'm 1,000% dependent upon God. I can make it through Christ. I can finish the race. I can make it. I don't have to quit. I don't have to be a casualty. I don't have to be a disgrace to the body of Christ. I don't have to be a quitter. I don't have to be a thief. I don't have to be a liar. I don't have to be. I don't have to be. I can be a blood-washed, spirit-filled child of God walking and living in victory. The choice is mine and the choice is yours. Boy, here's another one close to that one. Don't run away from wrecks. Run through them. Isaiah 43 said, when you go through the waters, they'll not overflow you. When you go through the fire, you'll not be burned. I leaned over to my friend when there was a big wreck down there on the track, and I said, how do you think? And he's done racing in days gone by. I said, what's your mentality? What happens? You're driving down this thing at, 150 miles an hour, whatever you're doing, and all of a sudden, two or three cars ahead of you, you see those cars either spinning out, hitting the wall, hitting one another, and smoke and all this stuff. I said, how do you get away from it? He said, you don't. You go through it. I said, explain that one to me. He said, I can't explain it, but just believe me. 9 times out of 10, by the time you get there, they'll have spun out of your way. But if you try to start dodging, you're going to wreck 2 or 3 others and wreck yourself in the process. Don't run away from wrecks. Just drive straight on through. Just go right on through. Yea, though I walk through the valley of the shadow of death, I will fear no evil, for thou art with me. Thy rod and thy staff, they comfort me. Thou preparest a table before me. In the presence of mine enemies, in the midst of the wrecks of others, God said, I can go through. I've had people say, well, Brother Nichols, if so-and-so couldn't make it, who can't? You can make it. You can do it. Oh, don't run away from wrecks. Drive right on through. When I go through the water, it will not overflow me. You know, I thought I'd be sipping lemonade in Hawaii by this time in my life. I'm working harder the last few years than I've worked in a long time. Folks, God wants us to get this thing in our spirit. Get this quit mentality. Just get over it. Always going to quit. Always going to give up. Always going to, always whining. Just whining like a crybaby. I saw a t-shirt the other day that I liked. Said, no crybabies. No crybabies. That's all right for a 6-month-old, but not for a 40-year-old or 30-year-old or 20-year-old. Oh, here's another one. Got two more. Don't be disturbed by others who pass you. You know, in all these years, my ministry's been more like a freight train. I start slow, but I end strong. Now, I want to tell you something. Don't be disturbed by others who pass you. Sometimes in the Christian life, it'll seem like someone is just pacing you. They're just blowing your back doors off. They're just going on down the speedway of life. And you think, man, did I even get started? You get messed up when you get caught in this comparison game. To compare is unfair. To compare is unfair. Say it with me. To compare is unfair. So many people get messed up comparing themselves with one another. You know, sometimes I sit down and look at what God's doing in this place, and I said, you know, pound for pound, we're seeing signs, wonders, and miracles. We're seeing breakthrough. My God, have mercy. Look at the missions and the breakthrough and the prayers and the things that God's doing. There's miracles all over this place. Here's the mentality of a race driver. Yeah, everybody would like to lead the pack, and everybody would like to be out front. But even a seasoned race driver realizes there's something more important than leading the pack. Now, if that's your pole position, fine. But a smart driver will spend some time getting the rhythm of his car. He'll find out just how strong his car is. How does it perform on certain turns? He'll find out how is it accelerating today, because different race cars perform different ways at different times because of different tunings, different mechanics, different mechanical situations. Now, I can help you if you listen to me. Don't get caught in the comparison game. I mean, sometimes people come, they're so depressed. Well, I just don't feel like anything's happening in my life right now. You know, just take my word for it. More is happening in your life when you don't think anything is happening than sometimes when you think a lot is happening. Sometimes you, oh, glory to God, I'm taking the world for God. And I mean, the next day, I mean, you're whale belly low. You're lower than a ground squirrel. Sometimes the very fact that you're holding steady and hanging in there counts much more in the kingdom of God than when you're out there blowing the back doors off of every other car on the freeway. You see, what the driver does, he said, I may not be number one, but he's thinking number one. He'll take it a car at a time. And he just keeps on going. This is the way faith works. Faith isn't this 24-hour-a-day rush, every moment, every second, every hour of every day. But you stay in the race, and you stay on the course, and you just keep on driving. There's a rhythm. There's a rhythm to those. I've talked to some drivers. They said there's a rhythm to those cars. There's a rhythm. And the rhythm's not always the same. Some days you know there's certain things you better not press your car to do that it would have done the last race. For what reason? Mechanical, human error, whatever it may be. Don't be distracted when others pass you. Because you see what that race driver does? He's positioning himself for victory. And he knows that he may have cars in front of him, but if he gets at a certain angle on that turn and he gets a certain acceleration, he can blow their back doors off. So you see, he doesn't blow his engine trying to prove anything until the appointed time. Are you listening to me? I hope you ladies would kind of go along with me here a little bit tonight. I just felt led to share this. I mean, you're just doing your best. You're serving God. You're tithing. You're doing the right thing. And my Lord, it's all happening to them. And they're getting this and they got this. And my Lord, it doesn't seem like anything. I take one step forward and three steps backwards. There's times it seems like that. But again, you be not weary in well-doing, for in due season you reap if you faint not. Don't be distracted by others who pass you. Pace yourself. Position yourself. And just get ready. Because the guy in front of you may blow his engine, and then you're in his place. The guy in front of you may blow a tire, and then you position yourself in his place. The guy two or three places in front of you may slam against the wall, and then you take his place. You see, the battle is not to the swift, the mighty, or the strong. The battle is to those who refuse to quit. Listen to me. Say it with me. The battle is to those who refuse to quit. Say it with me. The battle is to those who refuse to quit. Quitters never win, and winners never quit. Don't be distracted by those who pass you. Well, it just doesn't seem like my faith is working. It doesn't seem like God's answering my prayers. It doesn't seem like things are happening for me like they're happening for other folks. Oh, listen to me. You don't quit on your first day and you don't quit on your worst day. You don't quit on your first day and you don't quit on your worst day. Stay on the track. Stay on the track. Stay on the track. Stay on the track. Hallelujah. But oh, there's something that I read in the paper the next day as I looked at it very carefully. You know, number seven, when you know, go. When you know, go. First of all, you must have God's vision for your life, the vision to be on the track of life. You must commit to a course. Go with that course. Thirdly, you must not give in to boredom. Fourthly, you must not be distracted by the wrecks of others. Number five, don't run away from wrecks, run through them. Number six, don't be distracted by others who pass you. But number seven is, when you know, go. You know what I read from that race driver the next day? I think it was the 4-Star Telegram. How many times and how many days you thought, man, can I make it? Others are making it. Will it ever come to pass? And if you get, just one negative thought leads to another. And here this dear man had not won that particular type of race before. But he said, there came a time in the race, I saw this one's engine blow, and I saw this one have a blowout, and I saw this one mechanical problems, and I saw this one slam against the wall. And before long, he says, I'm number two. And he said, if I can just get myself positioned, I can put the pedal to the metal, and I'll pass the guy in front of me. He said, something inside of me said, you can win it. You can win this time. You can win this time. You can win this time. You've lost a lot of races. Golfers lose a lot of tournaments. All kinds of athletes, they lose so many, many times. Babe Ruth struck out more times than he knocked home runs. The former great home run king of many years ago struck out more times, yet we remember him for the home runs that he knocked. Mark McGuire and all the others, oh yes, we remember their home runs, but how many times did they walk away from that plate? They struck out. But that's the difference in a winner's mentality, and that's the difference in a loser's mentality. A loser, when he strikes out, he says, I quit. And the devil says, I agree. But a winner says, I struck out this time, but watch my smoke next time. There'll be another day. There'll be another time. There'll be another step up to the plate. And just as surely as I struck out this time, I'm going to slam for the wall and knock that ball right over the wall. Jeff Burton said there was an inward knowing. He said there was an, it sounds like a preacher talking. He said there was an inward knowing. Something inside of me said, Jeff, you can win it if you don't blow it. Jeff, you can win it. Hold steady. Use all the skill and the expertise that you've gleaned through these years that you haven't won. Hold steady, Jeff. You can win this one. And he said at that very moment, the pit was screaming, back off. But he said inside of me, I knew I couldn't do it. He said, I put the pedal to the metal. They were saying, back off, Jeff. Don't push your car. Back off. Back off. Back off. But he said, I knew the car was able. I knew I was able. Something inside of me said, you can win this time. You can win this time. And I tell you, in the name of Jesus Christ of Nazareth, there's a power of the Holy Ghost in this room tonight saying, no matter how many times you've struck out, no matter how many races you've lost, no matter how many times you believed and everything fell by the wayside, get your hopes up. Get your faith up. Stand in the name of Jesus and rejoice. Devil's telling some people in this room tonight, you're going to have to go back to jail. What do you say about that? What are you going to do about that? Well, if it weren't for bad luck, I'm just plagued by bad luck. A child of God's not plagued by bad luck. We're blessed by faith in God. Get a hold of this, saints. Get a hold of what I'm saying tonight. I'm going to tell you, there was a time in my life, I don't think anybody in this room could have been more negative than I was, because I didn't know how to be any different. I'd tried and failed and started and fallen and, I'd come to the point I didn't even believe my own word. You're in trouble when you don't believe your own word. You violated your own conscience. You said, I'm going to do this, and you swear to your own hurt, and yet you go through. There was a time I didn't even believe my own word. I'd be in a service like this, and I wanted to do right, and I wanted to serve God, and I wanted to make a new start for God. But oh, I just came to the point I just didn't try anymore. But oh, thank God, there was a night I said, in the name of Jesus, I'm going to heaven. I'm not going to hell. I'm going to serve God. I'm not going to serve the devil. I'm going to live clean. I'm going to live pure. And if I don't have any friends, I have Jesus. I mean, what's the big deal with a bunch of friends that go to hell with you? There's no party in hell. There's no friendship in hell. There's no love lost in hell. It's everybody for yourself. Listen to me. You say, Pastor Bob Nichols, it may be whatever. I don't even know what's going on in your life. But I'm going to tell you, I've made up my mind. I've dealt with enough junk. I've dealt with enough stupidity. I've dealt with enough lies. I've dealt with enough dishonesty. I've dealt with enough people in my life. But oh, thank God, His grace is sufficient. His grace is sufficient. When God calls you, God equips you. And if God's called you to do it, God will give you the grace to do it. I said, if God's called you to do it, God will give you the grace to do it. You may be resisting with everything you have within you, but I'll tell you, failure has had it in this room tonight. Quit has had it in this room tonight. You can make it. You can make it. You can make it. Your grandmama may not have made it. Your granddaddy may not have made it. Your father, your mother, your brothers, your sisters. But I'm telling your school teachers, your mentors, your close friends. But I'm telling you, you can make it if Jesus is the Savior and the Lord of your life.